Yes, guys, welcome back to the Once You're In podcast. This is a special Q&A episode. We've got Tim on. If you haven't already, go and watch the main episode with Tim. This should come out just after.
Very good.
It was good. It was very good. We appreciate having you on, mate. How long was the drive?
Two and a half hours.
Big shift, that.
That was a big shift.
As I said, it's for reels, isn't it?
It is for reels, yeah.
It's for content.
What if we don't get any reels from it?
Got it. I'll be invoicing you for the patch up.
Right, Sam, you've got Sam, a question, Howard. So I've got a few, and then I've drafted down a few. So start off, when it comes to exercises, if you were to have like three exercises for the rest of your fitness career, maybe let's say exercise per body part. Yeah, so calves, let's skip calves.
So hamstrings.
Yeah.
Seated hamstring curl.
Okay.
In hip flexion.
What machine?
Which seated ham?
Yeah.
Cybex Eagle.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like the prime one that much.
I don't. I love the Cybex Eagle.
I almost think it's too high for me.
Okay.
The your foot pad. Yeah, Cybex Eagle. Oh, the Life Fitness one's good. But yeah. I'd go Cybex Eagle. Leg, quads, leg press. I'd probably go. The one I'm loving at the minute is the Jim Lecko linear leg press. I think it's great.
It's so good.
I do integrated parts on that, and I think it's really good. It's so good.
Yeah.
I also love, from a pin loaded one, I love the VR2 Cybex one.
Yeah, it's nice. Mm.
That's good. And then the squat press, Cybex squat press is so good as well. What else we got? Glutes. Hip extension.
Yeah.
Like a 45 degree hip extension.
We're not breaking down the back, just do what's your favourite back exercise.
So
my favourite back bias row is this.
Back. Extreme back. Row.
Yeah, you've always got on really well with that. When I think of you in your training, I always think of you on that extreme row. I feel like I've seen you on that more than any machine.
I know, mate, my back's been built off that extreme row.
Yeah.
I hate you when people say that. Put a T-bar in and my back blew.
Yeah.
You can't say honestly, it's grown off this one exercise. But that extreme row, I got on really well.
I like extreme row.
Just a Nautilus pull down probably would be my favourite kind of pull down. Biceps, behind the body. The handle curls.
Oh, Bayesian curl.
Finn loves this. He used to always say it behind the body, and then all of a sudden, four months ago, he just started saying it. And it was like Bayesian curl.
Do you know what I did today?
What?
Do you know what a Duffalo bar is?
No.
No. So you know the barbell where basically if you're doing a flat bench, it curves to get more room.
I didn't know those. I was talking to a client about this.
Yeah,
about length and
range.
I explained. Yeah. I was like, you know that bar that has like a gap that you
I googled it today. Yeah. I googled it to find out.
What did you google?
No, I googled bar with extra ROM for chest.
Okay.
And it came up with all the barbell. And I was like, scrolling down. Duffalo. So like Buffalo with a D. And so I just put it into a checking tail. I was like, yeah, mate, so that Duffalo bar, I want you using that, as if I knew what it was.
Look,
like, I don't know, I've just googled it. But
you've seen
now it looks, well, yeah, he sent me it and he was like, do you reckon I should do this? And I was like, yeah, mate, the Duffalo bar. I really
LPs
know.
And the Duffalo
I know
bar.
All about it. Yeah, we're gonna add that in.
Fair enough.
So biceps, Bayesian curl.
Yeah.
Chest Duffalo bar.
I only found out about it today, but I'm gonna
LPs on El Duffalo. chest. Just an inclined press of
Atlantis.
Atlantis one's alright, but I don't have it.
Mate, reverse band Smith, you loved them back in the day.
Yeah.
What about your dad? What about your dad racking the barbell? In lockdown.
That wasn't even reverse band, I just tore into it.
Yeah.
How did he not know I was on gear?
Nearly knocked
you out. Some inclined.
What happened to my lovely son?
Yeah. I've had a few conversations like that. It's so hard to pick one. What's a good chest press? I don't even like the prime incline press. If I
no.
do it,
pin loaded
one. Like
oh yeah, the prime pin loaded.
I tell you what, it's great. It's not really for chest, with the Nautilus shoulder press pin loaded.
Yeah, it's nice.
Stack so much on.
Yeah.
Shoulders, single arm, cuff lateral, lengthened partial, tricep, katana.
Your exercise, you've got skinny arms.
I think it's game changer.
Do you know what?
Do you do it seated?
Yeah, I've done it. Well, I've done it.
Do you know what? Finn got some serious flack for
Sissy Junior.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He got like a reel up of arms from doing it, and the guy was like, "Why is there?" What did he say?
He was just like, "No wonder you got fucking shit arms or something." And then I called him out on it, and then like I was like, "My arms actually aren't bad." And, like I think I put a story on of like my arm looked quite good, and I was like, "Pretty." It was after the A1 when I ate loads of food and I was peeled and I was like really dry.
Yeah.
And I like just tagged him in it, and he was like, "Oh shit, I'm really sorry, bro."
Yeah, clearly, you know what you're doing.
Keep going. Like, honestly, yeah, don't worry. Like, you obviously know what you're doing.
First, they are good.
They are good.
Actually, for chest, I'd say just an incline dumbbell press. To be fair, as a best back bang for your buck exercise, I don't think
the best back builder.
Best back dumbbell builder press. Incline chest press. Yeah, definitely. But my gym's got the disgusting Watson ones. That are like 10 kilo heavier than an actual normal dumbbells, dumbbell. You put a 60 kilo up, it's like there's a 10-force scale blowing.
Watson ones at, what do you call it? Warehouse.
Yeah.
Oh,
those ones, that like they spin a bit as well.
Oh, you're just like that up at the top. So I don't do them, but I would probably say incline dumbbell.
Yeah.
Is that everything?
That's pretty much, yeah. It's a good question.
Yeah.
No. What would be your top three gyms you've ever been to?
Any gyms out in Vegas?
Yeah, where did you train when you trained in the same gyms as us?
Overrated.
I agree.
It was good though.
I'll
good.
Tell you what was ace. LV Club.
Yeah, LV AC. Yeah.
One that did you go
Las
to?
Las Vegas Athletic Club.
The other one that I went to.
Oh, okay.
That AJ went to as well.
Yeah, we didn't go to that one. That one was supposed to be good. Yeah.
AJ said, AJ, we sat and AJ was like, that's the best gym I trained at.
That's what Megan says as well. She says, that's my favourite gym. The vibe, everything was really, really good.
Yeah.
That was good. I went to Elevate as well, which was bog standard.
Yeah, it was all right.
All right.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, I thought it was all
right. Craig Goliath was there.
Was he?
Yeah.
Who did you meet at Dragon's Lair as well? Oh, no. What was the gym where you met Nick Walker?
That was torture.
Torture, that was Panatticate.
It was alright.
No, it
had
M Torture.
M Torture.
It's like a new brand that I'd never even heard of. We thought it was specific to that gym, but then I've seen loads of the gyms have got it now.
In America?
No, like you know, Planet Fitness in Wales. They've got quite a lot of stuff.
The Nick situation was hilarious because I walk in, like we both walked in, and I just looked. You know, when you walk in and like I think Finn was doing his membership, and I just looked back and I saw what looked like Nick Walker. Obviously, it was, but I honestly thought because he was wearing
he
an
said
oversized
to me, that
hoodie,
looks like him.
But it looked like a skin because he's not like frame mate. He's not big. Yeah. He's very narrow. But he was obviously like a week or two after the Olympia, so I was like, oh no, was it a week or two? It was after, no, it was a week or two before.
Out,
but it was when,
before,
so he was like pretty much competition lean.
Yeah.
So I looked at him and was like, that looks like Nick Walker, but then I was like, he's too small to be Nick Walker. And then I was like, that Nick Walker? And the guy goes, yeah, this is Nick Walker's home gym. And I was like, oh shit, like, it's.
It was cool.
They say don't meet your idols.
Yeah.
Well, Keon was at Dragon's Lair, and I was there. Didn't even clock him.
Oh, did you not?
No. I didn't clock him, but then saw
he
the story.
Put on
he was
a lot
there.
Of weight, hadn't he?
Yeah, mate, we saw him
a week before.
Yeah.
But like, again, people are as impressive in real life as you think, and I didn't even realise it was him.
Yeah, no, we saw him and it was like we were literally like, God, he's pretty soft and it's not
Keon.
Yeah.
He was pretty, I mean, he was pretty soft still on stage, wasn't he, compared to everyone else. Yeah, LV Club was mega in England. I think B Modified's great.
Yeah,
it's
good.
I like EP Jungle's good as well.
Yeah.
I've only been to the original, which I liked.
I think it's better.
You like the original better?
No, I think the new
one. The
better.
New one, is it?
The new one. I think the new one is similar. It's just different lighting, different sort of setup. It feels more like a gym. It looks more like
a gym. I liked the one before. The old setup was good, but I think it's slightly better now.
Yeah. FLF's good.
Yeah. I like FLF.
Brother Room's obviously the mecca, isn't it?
The hashtag mecca.
The hashtag mecca. Yeah. I don't know.
Rezo.
It's getting a couple of bits. Okay,
it's not bad, you know, Rezo.
I haven't been in years.
I went.
But I think the worst thing is that the mezzanine floor feels really dungy in there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It just feels. Yeah. I feel like it could collapse any second.
You're just walking away like this is not safe.
Yeah. I know.
You're looking up like, I might die.
It just like it feels dark yet lit in there. It doesn't. I don't.
Yeah,
like
it is quite dark in there. It is quite a dull.
I think how lighting is and ceilings are really important.
Yeah,
you don't
it
really,
can make it either feel massive
like Evo,
or really small.
Evolution down the road from here feels like really cool gym. It's got alright kit. It's pretty good.
But
the lighting's good.
The roof, like,
it's quite low ceilings.
Yeah.
It's good.
And it's like King's gym. Have you been King's Manchester Bury? I think they've got they've got a reol of kit now. But it's a big warehouse, but it was almost this lighting and only that lighting. And it makes on spotlights of just neon lighting.
Yeah.
And it makes it feel so small and compact that it's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, the ceiling's massive, it makes it feel so dingy in there.
Yeah.
And I feel like Reza with them spotlights, then it's black everywhere else.
Yeah.
Feels similar. But they've got Cybex kit and
pretty good
some
Pride equipment
going in,
yeah.
some Jim Lecco going in.
Yeah.
So.
I went literally at Christmas, this Christmas, I thought a lot better than the last one, probably a few years ago.
New owners and that now, and
he's
pumping a lot of kit into
What would you say your top three gyms are? If you were to.
I'm trying to think if I missed it. I want to go to Ultralight's Dive. I haven't been to the new B Modified either.
Yeah.
Well, I've been in it, but I've not been
within
the top three. I almost want to put one from Vegas in, but then yeah. I also think they weren't that good.
Were you underwhelmed of Vegas as a whole?
Oh, I thought it was like, it feels like a bag hang up, like a hangover. Like, I think about it. Feels it like that pool. Yeah, and I'm literally like, oh, it felt fake. It didn't feel like a real place. Yeah. Bro, everything felt artificial. Fake.
That's what we said. Nothing. It wasn't real.
Yeah. It felt like a very artificial place that was just like manufactured. It
is pumped in.
Yeah.
But it, I kind of that, I expected that could have been that. Anywhere.
I couldn't get my head around like locals living there. I would hate. Oh, they didn't feel real. No. How can you live there with?
Yeah. It felt like a New simulation.
York and Paris next to you. Yeah. Like, that's not.
It felt like a simulation. Like, it was literally like, this doesn't
but
feel
But I did
real.
Expect it to feel like that. Like, I knew it'd be like that based on what I'd heard and stuff. I kind of felt it would be like that.
After two days, I was like, I'm done. I'm ready for going home.
Yeah,
I think because we were training. Somewhere else. Yeah. We were training and it was kind of like our normal routine. It was like quite enjoyable. But like, we were just knackered by the end. Like,
knackered as well. And that flight home and stuff. It was. Do you fly from Heathrow?
Manchester, wasn't it?
You're in Manchester. It was literally 4.5 hours for us to Heathrow. So you add flights and then times in airports. We were like travelling for 20
I think it was Heathrow. Yeah.
When I got back from Toronto last year, that was similar. Like, it was like 3 collective flights.
Yeah.
It was a fucking joke. Like, trying to get back. New York was lovely because New York was only like when I was there in December.
It's not far, is it?
Mate, it's like 6 hours. Six and a half, 7 hours. So it's like literally you land and then we were just half hour down.
We're going to do that for Christmas this year.
Yeah, mate, it was lovely. It was really good. It's very intense. It's a different level of intensity to Vegas, but it's like, it's more legit.
Yeah. But it makes sense. It's pretty, not similar, but like, it's London-y compared to, it's not a mad American experience.
I'd honestly say Toronto is better than New York because it's very similar. It's just a more refined version. You get your bearings. New York's so big. Yeah. Like that, and it depends on where you stay because you could stay, like, let's say, in the actual New York City. So, for example, like, we were literally just above Central Park. So, you know, all the Spider-Man films and all that sort of stuff. We were there. So, like, just lower end of Harlem, which is quite rough, a lot of, like, blacks and stuff, which, like, is fine in the UK, but like blacks over there, it's quite a lot of poverty driven. No, it is. It's like
rough blacks.
No, it was rough blacks. No, but it was sound, it was fine, but it was just a lot of poverty. And unfortunately, in America, like where the poverty
you
is.
You see
where,
it in Vegas,
yeah, it's where the black people are. It is a shame. But then, like the actual, let's say, like Central City, you had, what's the.
Upper East Side and all of
that. No, what's the place, and it's like. You got all the advertisement boards on the side. It's like one of the main places in New York. It's slipped my mind what it's called.
I know what you mean. What's it called?
Yeah.
It's Thingy Square.
Times Square. There, like, it's all just entertainers. Like, you literally are walking and you've got, like, people. Like, you can't see more than a meter in front of you. But it's really, really cool. So I definitely recommend it. Like, December sort of time, like Christmas. Yeah, it's wicked. But Toronto's just a more refined. By the time, like, New York, you could be there. We were there for 12 days. I still didn't really know my place. Like, I didn't know where we were. Yeah. Where Toronto, we were there for, again, like 11 days. By, like, 5 days in, I knew where we needed to be, where things are.
I like that when you get your bearings.
Yeah. Vegas, like, you'd go in a taxi somewhere, you'd go a different way the next time.
Yeah.
You're seeing the same stuff, and it was almost like a merry-go-round constantly.
Did you think, like we said, everything in Vegas was 30 minutes, everything was half an hour away?
Yeah,
no matter what,
no matter the distance, it was 25 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was because of the road work. Yeah.
Where did you stay?
MGM, the MGM Grand
on the strip, the big,
but like. It's like a signature one, so like the one behind it.
Pretty much.
It was decent.
What about you?
The Virgin Hotel,
okay,
which was just a little bit down from the Strip,
yeah.
Which was like dead modern and new.
Okay,
like Future was playing there the day after Metro Boomin and Future for Future's birthday. Gutted. But like, I just when I walked in, I knew probably same. Like, I didn't realise the casinos were going to be in the hotels.
And I knew because Shannon had been
literally there, and I didn't realise that the restaurants were going to be in hotels. It just felt like you go out for food, but you're going for a nice meal, but you're going in a hotel and then walking through a casino. Like,
it just spends. Yeah. Like, it was all just incentivized towards making people feel good for a short period of time, just spending money. That's how I felt. Like, I wouldn't want to go out there.
I got £20 out for some slot machines, lost it within 3 minutes, and then thought, how on earth is anyone addicted to this?
And then when I spent £2,
we did that, but then we kept getting money out.
Oh, I didn't. I was like, no chance.
Yeah, we probably at the end of it we might have lost like £50 or something.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Yeah, but you're not like, thousands. Out, you're not, yeah. You see old men just sat there like all day losing their life to it, and it's like mental.
Right, we've got a question from JP about food.
Do you know JP, Finn's client? He's a
Jack Morgan, JP underscore MVMT.
Oh yeah,
loves some food.
Yeah,
novice winner.
Novice double British champ.
Loves food.
Loves food. Yeah. Top 3 fast food fries. Five Guys, McDonald's, Nando's, Peri Peri chips. So I think he's just giving us his answer.
Well, no, I would say straight up, I'm a fry hater. I think fries are the most overrated things ever. Yeah. But Five Guy Cajun Spice fries are elite.
Yeah, I'm so not. Good. Shannon loves chips.
I hate chips. I think it's such a waste.
I just don't get them. Yeah. I just think they're boring.
I agree. Unless they're really good.
If you're getting chips from Nando's, something wrong with you.
No, I've never had
chips from Nando's.
Yeah.
Do you know they're just really? McCain's chips?
Yeah,
they've got a deal with, you know, just what you can buy in Tesco, McCain's chips.
Yeah.
They're exactly the same. They've got a deal with McCain's. And they just put Peri salt on, but for some reason they taste better.
I think they do. I don't think they taste.
I would agree with his top three, to be fair.
What was second?
Five Guys, Mackey's.
Oh, Mackey's fries are awful.
Mackey's is awful.
I've never had. I don't think I've ever finished. I might have had, like, you know, when you just
don't
get
ever
meal.
Finish a meal.
Nah, I wouldn't finish. I'd usually give them to someone else.
Come on, fries.
He buys like three meals.
I'd rather eat the fries than the burger.
Yeah, I would never eat the fries.
If I was at Mackey's, one of the one things I'd get, like, it, no, if I was forced, like, to have a Mackey's, I'd rather have the fries than having, like, a Big Mac.
Yeah, I agree.
Really?
I might have been missing out.
I think the fries is just vile.
No, out of like,
if
KFC,
I was
at
Chicken
Burger
Select
King,
or
whatever,
Chicken Nuggets or something, I'd have that. But, like, if someone was to say, here's a Big Mac or here's just the fries, I'd be like, I'll have the fries.
What's the worst chips? Like, what's the worst fries that we could think of?
KFC.
I've never had KFC.
Yeah, they're supposed to be shit, aren't they?
Oh,
it's
no,
like a known thing.
Even salty.
Burger King
just,
fries.
Burger Kings are awful.
Yeah, they are so
awful.
Bad.
Yeah.
They're like fat, but they're like soft and
sweet. The only times I've ever had Burger King is when you're in an airport and it's like the only option.
Still open at like 3 a.m.
And every time it's like, that was shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember coming back from Tunisia and we hadn't ate for ages. We got Burger King like 2 a.m. I shat myself when I got in. I was like,
I
had it.
How do people do this all the time?
I know.
Yeah,
when it tastes that bad, yeah.
People live off it. Like, it
no, but
crazy.
It's that dopamine rush of like Sanaya loves a McDonald's, and I literally almost sat down like an intervention. Why do you like McDonald's? And we came to the conclusion.
All the family was around.
Yeah, no, she used to always go when she was a kid with her family.
Yeah,
so she associated McDonald's with like a Friday night treat with the fam. You know, so it's like, yeah. I could never imagine. We've said it before, the only time a Mackey's is acceptable is you get out after a football game, you've got no meals,
I've got no food,
and it's just like, oh, it's a Mackey's.
That's the thing, though.
I do that at Celtic because there's nothing open, and that's the only thing.
People don't realise, like, your upbringing does have a massive impact.
My mom and dad
don't
eat McDonald's.
Yeah, my mom and dad, like, to be fair, it was like a period of time where my dad would take us to McDonald's, but it was like, very, very
rare. Get out of the house from your mum.
Yeah, it was literally when my dad left my mum.
Do it. Do it. Exactly.
It was.
Fuck that. Fuck Penny Kelly.
Yeah. Like, go Mackie.
Yeah.
Mum's doing my head.
Yeah, it was. It was like, come and pick us up and we'll go Mackie's. But like, even then, it wasn't like, oh, this was great. It was like, just because of fucking nothing else. Like, you know what I mean? It was like a quick, he's got us for an hour.
Yeah.
And then we're going back. Like, yeah, it wasn't long. But yeah,
Dad was only allowed them for the hour,
Not
the weekend.
But like,
even us, even
but
weekend
like,
visits.
Some people
and he wasted it on a Mac.
But some people, like some people's upbringing is literally like, or like
again, dude, you play a good game of football. Let's go to Mackey's.
We got a question. And it was like, what's your favourite childhood meal? And me and you were like, don't know. Like, whereas Josh, it was when Josh Crogan was on, and like he thought of like ones, and like people have these like meals. Oh, my mum used to make this, and it was amazing, and it's like.
Yeah,
really high calorie or whatever.
I had some of my mum's cooking. My mum can't cook. Like, I just had the same food.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I never had takeaways or anything as a kid.
Yeah.
We'd never get an Indian or a pizza. So I'd never really had takeaways. My mum does cook, but I'd say at 16, 17, I stopped eating my mum's cooking.
Yeah, I was
because
exactly
I started
the same.
Meal prepping or just
start making
having bags
food.
Of rice and chicken and stuff, whatever I could. But I don't think I have too much of an emotional attachment to food anyway. To even think back, like, that makes me happy, that makes me feel or something. I don't think I've ever had that. I like food. Food's tasty, but I don't. It's not like. There's not something like that.
Some people are, though. And again, like, a lot of time it's not. I wouldn't say it's their fault. It's just your upbringing. Like, if your whole childhood is revolved around food, which for a lot of kids it is, like, what are you supposed to do if it's what you're born into?
Yeah.
You know, every night is a different, exciting meal, and it's a big thing with the family, and it's like. Every weekend you've got family round for a family barbecue, and then Sundays a Sunday dinner every week.
Yeah.
We never
had
Sunday
dinner.
Sometimes
I think it's a bit sad that so early on I stopped having, because I wouldn't sit and have a meal with my mum. I haven't sat and had a meal with mum and dad unless we've gone out, because I haven't lived at home.
Yeah.
Or when I did, I made my own food.
Yeah,
that was
so
insane,
like
though.
That sometimes I think it sort of, I think that upset my mum and dad a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Not because of the food element, just sitting down as a family. I would eat five meals a day. And you know that doesn't tie in with a breakfast, lunch and dinner, does it?
Yeah.
So it's different. The only time I've probably done that is ever going to like girlfriend's house or somewhere and having a meal with their family. That's probably the only time that
I can think of
having a proper meal.
Yeah, I remember I sat down for like a family meal with Sanaya's family and I literally said like, this is the biggest table. There was like only like six people. I was like, this is the biggest table I've ever, like this is the most official meal I think I've ever had.
Yeah,
I better not like say a racist remark or say something that could get me in trouble with the dad. And then I just started touching upon like PTSD from like when he was in the war.
Started touching the dad up.
Yeah, and so, I just started being really inappropriate. Yeah, and then, oh God, no wonder
he's triggering the PTSD.
I dropped a fork and shouted, grenade!
He's having flashbacks.
Right, moving on from that. Keeping on food. We usually get asked, like, let's say, again, JP's asked about like food before. Off-plan meals.
Yeah.
If you've got, I'm not going to say death row meal. I mean, you can say death row. What would you be your death row? But right, what would be your top? What would be your top three, like, let's say favourite and top three least favourite off-plan meals?
Off-plan meals.
Because you've been in an off-season / slight, like, not being a bodybuilder for a long time now. So I'm guessing it's going to be pretty simple. But what would be your go-to?
Well, at the minute, what we have as off-plan meal, both of us, is we either make our own burgers and chips.
Yep.
Or we make our own pizzas.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never made them. Last pizza. Night, and it was...
Do you think they taste good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay. I think Domino's and stuff like that's awful. I think they're just grease fest.
I think it depends what you get. I like a good Domino's.
I don't think there is a good Domino's. I think all the time you feel heavy and you're
no, but if you go like, out and get like a good nice one, thin Italian pizza, yeah. Then it's like rather that.
I haven't had Domino's in a while, but I get a medium because I think large, I just feel like shit. I get thin base, I get the reduced. I get it on a barbecue base. I really like that. Like, if I was to get, for example, like you say, like a proper Italian pizza, like I wouldn't get a barbecue base on that. No. But to get a Domino's that doesn't make me feel shit, I'll get that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I actually feel sound from it. But like, when I see people get a Domino's, it's a large, stuffed crust, get sides. The sides at Domino's are horrendous.
I think that's from feeling so heavy, like we push food. Yeah. And even when you're not pushing, you're still pushing compared to the average person. I think having something that heavy, that greasy,
you're not full from satiation,
you're full from like... so greasy.
Digestive stress. Like your
body, you know it's not going
to go
through.
I used to have when I was like, so I was 105 kilos at 16. Like I was heavy. I was pushing up like considerably because I was like, I'm trying to get strong. I was having two Domino's a week and I'd have a large pizza, stuffed crust, and I'd have like five boxes of dough balls. And like literally, it was probably 4,500 to 5,000 calories. And I used to literally sit there, Champions League night, eating, and I'd just be like hating it by the end. But I'd do it. And then the following day, I'd be like, fine. If I did that now, I'm not eating
it's true, isn't it?
I'd get away with it and I'd sleep for 4 hours.
Yeah, you were so active as a kid.
Yeah, I was like, playing football twice a week. I was training every day.
Yeah.
You know, but I try and think of that.
You're not just sat doing check-ins all day. You're probably at college and you're moving around a lot.
It would ruin me. It would absolutely ruin me. But I feel like you can get away with it when you're young. So you would say what? Your off-plan meals now would be...
Well, that's what I have.
Go out for a meal. Do you like sushi?
Yeah, I love sushi.
Okay.
I love like Thai food.
Yeah,
I really like Thai food. But when I say Thai food, like I do like noodles and I do like that kind of Thai food. I love going and getting like a full duck grilled and shredded with some like jasmine rice.
Okay.
Like, or like a full chicken. Like that's probably what I will order. Yeah. It's still pretty relatively safe. Sushi, Thai, obviously like a nice Italian pizza.
And what would be your
nice
bottom pasta. Tier?
Like if bottom you, tier, yeah, you anything like Mackey's, Domino's.
Yeah.
Even, you know, Five Guys is good, but I've maybe had one Five Guys and that was post show with someone in 3-4 years. Any kind of fast food, I'm not that big. I like a Subway.
Subways
are great.
Yeah.
I like Subways.
Subway is good.
I
think like the more, especially the further you get into an off season, the more you want your off plan meals just be quality.
Yeah,
like you just want it to be like an actual nice meal that makes you feel good. Yeah. Like good amount of protein, good quality food. Like that's why sushi is such a good one, because like you can actually have a good quality meal and not feel like that was just shit. It was just pure fats, like really low quality protein.
Yeah.
You feel horrendous for it. Like sushi, Thai food, plan burrito, Mexican.
Oh, you had a plan burrito.
Yeah, plan burrito. Chipotle. Did you have one in Vegas?
Yeah. No, we didn't. No. I had them in New York.
Yeah, like, I get a tortilla or a bar burrito. Yeah, they're in London.
Tortilla's clear from tortilla.
Chipotle is clear. You wouldn't think it, but the freshness of it is different gravy. Yeah. But I love a burrito. Yeah, but again, it's just more fresh food.
Yeah.
Like, even Subway, as much as it's processed meat and stuff, it's still fresher than most.
Than a Mac is.
I agree.
So,
what was the question you
had? I had a few more. This is a football question. Underrated player and overrated player. Go. You got to think of one as well. I got to think of one.
Whatever.
Yeah, any player currently.
Present.
Yeah, or maybe past and present if you want.
Past, okay. Past. Jason Park underrated?
I feel like he's accepted he's now. He's now people overrated. Think. Right,
yeah. He's now properly rated.
Yeah. I think, yeah, because I feel like a lot of people, when he was playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, yeah, he's underrated when he was playing.
It's like, you know, for example, Ferdinand. Darren Fletcher. He's massively overrated now in comparison to in his playing days. Rio Ferdinand.
I thought you said Darren.
No, Darren Ferdinand. Yeah, big dad. Daz Ferds. No, Rio Ferdinand was a very good player.
Yeah,
but people speak now. Of him now like he was like
he's
the
not,
best.
He was never as good as Rio. John Vidic. Terry, sorry.
James Terry.
He's better than Vidic.
I don't know.
He's better than Vidic. Better than Vidic.
He's better
overrated. Neymar of all time. Most overrated.
Do you not
all
think
time.
That's more frustration because of how good he could have been? Because I think.
Yeah, like, potentially, but I don't think he's even in the top 20, 25 debate of all time.
I don't think he is.
Or even
no, I don't think he's
close to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't think he is. No, I think you can name 15, 20 players off the top of your head, but I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neymar's a good shout.
Yeah.
I think underrated right now.
I'm going to say Eden Hazard underrated now because he, like, think about it. No,
he was so good
in the Premier League. But because he had a bad back end of his career, you could say Cristiano Ronaldo is underrated now. People talk
Cristiano about, Ronaldo is yeah. probably now the most underrated yeah. player ever because they yeah. think of
the
young
last
people
four
think
years.
Of 33 to 39.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, he's still getting 40, 50 goals yeah. a year by
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
And suddenly, and like all modern strikers are now pretty much imaged. That he's shaped a new
yeah.
era of football.
Yeah.
But people don't think he was silky and could take
people
on.
I mean, people
act
like he can't dribble. Because
like
he couldn't after three knee injuries in his late 30s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But his output was then even better.
Yeah.
Post 30 to pre 30, output's
better. Stays in the middle now.
Arguably, what would you rather probably have as a top tier team? The output than actually his inefficiency as back in the day.
Yeah.
But I think Eden Hazard, I think he was
I think he's overrated.
People now put him in like I've seen stuff of. Is he the greatest Premier League player of all time and stuff like that? And it's like, I think he's overrated.
I think he's overrated.
I think he's overrated.
Fair enough. I just think it's like his image is almost washed slightly because he was washed.
I honestly think he should be.
Rooney was done at 28,
yeah.
but he was also like
the best player in the world at
16
yeah.
to that.
So
age,
that's
yeah.
still 12 years.
Yeah.
I don't know who else currently who's playing that's pretty underrated.
So he's going to need more attention.
Overrated Van Dijk?
No, don't say that.
Trent,
yeah.
Depends on what you class. Like
Salah,
numbers wise, he's probably rated,
but he's garbage.
Yeah.
He's garbage.
You watch him for 8 minutes, struggle to make 6 yard passes, and then he takes three on and like puts it in top bins.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
And it's where does that possibly come from? Like, his own teammates don't rate him. Have you seen him all when they say
yeah,
he's the trick? Who's the best? Who's this?
Who's
no
got the best
says,
left foot?
They laugh at him.
It was Shaqiri.
They laugh at him.
It was Shaqiri who's the best. People would say Robbo had a better
players. That's just like that, though, aren't they? Like they're just you can tell they're not technically that good, but they're just.
Think about how the game's
so efficient.
Like if you had Xavi and Iniesta now, football Twitter would literally be like, "Where's the goals and the assists,
brother?" Xavi underrated.
Did you see Xavi like had a season where he had like 25 assists and like 15 goals or something like yeah
don't surprise me
a joke an
Busquets
absolute joke.
He gets overlooked from Iniesta to Xavi doesn't he just because he played a little bit further forward
Real Madrid's peak midfield three or Barcelona's midfield three Casemiro, Cruz, Modric
Barcelona
or Xavi, Iniesta, Busquets
Barcelona.
I think that's a disrespectful question. I think there's only one answer if I'm honest.
What you think Barca?
Yeah
it's Barca. That's the best midfield ever.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
But then I think you got to take, they won 5 Champions Leagues together. So it's what, like 8 leagues versus 5?
Yeah.
8 leagues, what, 2 UCLs?
No, but then also...
Versus like 3 leagues, 5 UCLs.
So, okay, so let's say best teams, and then we'll move on guys in a second. Best teams in like 2000, 2007, like 8. I'm guessing most people think AC Milan. Yeah, the league, they only won one title in that like 7 to 8 years.
Because Juve.
No, Juve and Inter
just
were
they
winning,
so
but
good.
Because they got to the final in 2005.
Same with Liverpool. People will think Liverpool were better than they were.
People will look back at Liverpool and think because we got to 3 finals, I guarantee they'll be like that Liverpool team was so dominant. But in reality, in the league, it's the
club gets bigged up as much as Klopp's good, and like this Liverpool team gets bigged up. They haven't done that. You've done nothing domestically by a COVID league.
No, mate, we were 25 points clear.
Liverpool that won in 2005. They were not a good team.
Why did you come seventh in the league?
Yeah,
fifth, I think. Yes, fifth or sixth.
You didn't qualify. You were qualified for winning.
Gerrard would have left if we didn't get. He literally said. He said the day before.
Chelsea, right?
Yeah, he said the day before. Mental. It was crazy.
But yeah, you take that.
Move on from football.
Okay. What the fuck were you feeding Jack? I'm guessing he means Jack Hattersley. Who's asked that? Moussa, a guy who actually went up against him, so one of my clients. So yeah, he's asked, what the fuck were you feeding Jack, and what are you feeding him now? So we'll ask, what was the lowest food he's got? Superdrol. Loads of Superdrol. Just
what's
avoiding
the lowest food got to? Pretty low, 1,400-1,500.
Okay.
Period of time.
Yeah.
Like just pro fat, pretty much, on some days.
Yeah.
And then he was ready so early, he didn't do any cardio for since his 2 weeks prior to his first show.
That was like Josh pulled it out.
Same with Gillen, and like the condition will improve as they get fresher and just rid some fatigue.
Yeah.
His loads were heavy though, I will say that. I think before
his androgen loads.
One day.
Yeah.
His carb load prior to, especially remember to the UKIFBA Heart of England, I think was close to over potentially 2 gram of carbs over 2.5-3 days.
He would
just soak anything up, but I'd dry him off ridiculously hard.
Yeah.
Like I would dry him off more than anyone, and he would still get a pump and he would still be full and lose no real fullness. But I think people like that, as you said, even from his boxing past, nothing bothered him.
You said that at the show, one of the shows. Yeah. You were like, there's something about like having that genetic mindset.
I think people
predisposed to be
lean,
yeah,
disposition like, towards his condition
to
and how
well.
Things are. Yeah.
They just battled through it, and he wasn't bothered. And you know, even when Bloods came back, his Bloods were absolutely fine after that 6 month season.
He had like 68 nanomolar tests.
His thyroid was absolutely fine. No wonder he's still being able to pull off weight so easy.
Yeah.
And people like that are just built for it, aren't they? Yeah. And now, obviously, he's assisted and he's 45 pounds up. And
what are you feeding now? Is he on a lot of food or is he
3-6?
Oh, really?
Again, response. He's a hyper responder to training, food, and now drugs, evidently.
Do you set his food or do you just have like macros, let's say?
No, he's a diet plan.
Okay. Yeah.
He has macros as well, but he follows the diet plan. That's just out of choice for him.
He likes
regimented, he always has them.
My least favourite time is like post show when like I'm trying to set everything up food wise and I'm like, you've got obviously those like not cravings, but I'm just like, I hate that thought of like having to think about
for you
macros.
Or for a client,
me, right, myself, yeah. I'm just like, give me, I literally will set my food and I'll be like, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm eating.
But then like if you've got like an evening with Sonata, I bet it's like, oh, we could change it to this and fit that in. It's annoying.
So I just like stick to I never work off macros. I can't imagine anything worse than
I eat the same every day unless I'm going out and I'll track. But I think
just say that when you're busy with work as well.
Like.
Oh mate, the if it fits your macro craze, you know, like mid 2010s, like fuck that. Trying to be like, oh, I'm gonna fit in 3 scoops of ice cream and I'm gonna have a burrito here.
People prep off it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's wild. Like, so they bank the calories till the end of the day.
You might
have
like
a protein
psychologically
ice cream
mess. Yeah,
you're training first thing in the morning. You've had zero carb for this amount of time.
Yeah.
And you're having salad throughout the day to then have a
people do the
halo
just,
top.
They forget, don't they? They just think that the only thing that matters is calories in and calories out. It's like in terms of weight loss, but like in terms of how you look, how you feel, how you perform, like.
And also, like, as much as you might think it makes prep easier because you're fitting in the food you like, I think it creates eating disorders far worse than just following a meal plan.
I think it makes it harder
because you have a taste for it.
Yeah,
you know, people who make cream of rice with 2 liters. And top it with everything, and when you come out of a show, no wonder your stomach's that big. You've distended
volume,
that much.
Food volume is crazy high.
That you're having a normal meal post show, and it's not even touching the sides, and that's because you're used to.
I remember
a 4 kilo tub of bowl of cream of rice.
Yeah, I remember like my first prep. Sanaya was like pretty food focused because she prepped at the same time, and like she was sat like she was openly like, "Oh, I am so obsessed with food."
Yeah,
she did not care. She's so
not
front-facing.
Denial about
yeah,
it.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
she was showing me all these like zero calorie sources. Is how to like volume my stuff, and I remember like I listened for like I let her like make a few meals for like a day or two, and I've never in my entire life been like, oh, obviously when I'm really lean the thought of having a meal is nice, but I've never been the sort of person to be like at all fixated towards really.
I remember thinking
to myself, I was like
using baking powder and stuff like
she made me a whey thing with like something like to volumize it, and it, for the first time in my life I remember thinking to myself, oh, I was thinking about food like in between meals. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? And I said to Sarah, like, stop. I was like, I'll make my own food. I'm just gonna, because I use my cream of rice. If I make it, I just make it
how I don't
have it watery. I just have it normal. I keep it just exactly the same. I don't care. I don't care if it looks shit. I just eat my food. But she was telling me or showing me all these sort of bits, and it was like
hacks.
Proper
they're
like
not hacks.
No, it was like almost messing my head up more.
It
and it
does.
Was like, you know,
if you're on 1,700 calories,
that's
1,700 calories regardless of how you eat it.
Yeah,
like at the end of the day, so it's the same.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, you know, when you're programming or yourself, you're on such little food that you've got like 100 gram of carb in the day, or 150, and you've got like a 40 gram portion of rice. I think you feel way worse on that than just like pro fats.
Yeah.
If you don't have it,
you don't even think about it.
Nothing to look forward to.
That's it. But when you have a little bit, you're like, I want more.
Yeah. You have nothing to look forward to. You sound, you're just like, oh, sound
I think on a rest day, you're better off on trace carbs than 100.
Than 100.
Whereas on a training day, you obviously like, you feel a lot better for it. But yeah, on a rest day, like, I found that when.
If you just pull it and deal with it.
When I was on like probably like 75 or 80, I'm thinking like, why am I even having that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's literally pointless, isn't it? And you just want, you're just dissatisfied at the end of the meal that I want a little bit more rice, or
better off just literally having a little bit more fat and sticking it on the training day.
Exactly. Compounds, PDs, what's your favourite?
EQ.
I love EQ. I love my red blood cell count being through the fucking roof. Yeah, bro. Hematocrit being too high, who needs to give blood? I just give it to a dying kid in a hospital anyway.
Test.
Obviously. I love tests.
Unless you're talking like creeping high engine load, I will always just use Mast over Primo.
Yeah.
I think unless you're running a lot, I think it's still just as benign from low dosages.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Primo's fake.
Mm-hmm.
B, you've got to pin twice as much. And I can't be bothered with pinning twice.
More expensive as well.
More expensive. You're paying more, it could be fake.
The pip can be a bit more aggressive.
Pinning more. Yeah. And I think unless like you're talking upwards of like a gram a lot,
yeah.
I think then just split it and split the ratio between the two.
Yeah.
I've
had real good success with people slim. Like splitting just Mast and Primo. Like, yeah. One to one, literally.
If you say 1.2 gram, like 800 and 400, I think it works far better. But lower doses, I think just Mast works. Yeah. Much better. You like your nose, don't you? You like an MPP.
I don't like them. I put them towards the latter end of a cycle, like the latter end of a push, like the last like 8 to 10 weeks. Yeah, I'll put something in like that. But that's just another pathway. And usually it's because Primo would just get quite high, and I'm spending a fucking fortune on this. And then GH would just be escalated when appropriate, you know. And then to be fair, the only things that I like, let's say Lantus, like let's say Nova Rapid. I like Lantus. I'm not a massive fan of like fast acting. I've used it moderately, but only for a brief period of time. Like my insulin sensitivity is usually like very, very, very good. Like I rarely ever have any issues, and I never think to myself, I need like if you let's say for example, have you taken like Nova Rapid post workout?
I do.
You do. But you've trained.
Yeah.
You haven't ate food for a good amount of time.
Yeah, your ability so to sensitive. Uptake
nutrients. Yeah, so I almost question. Do you? I think pre workout. Yeah, I think post workout. In my opinion, unless the meal is like 300 carb.
Yeah.
Like I was as a fucking natty getting in like 350 grams of cereal, and like my insulin sensitivity was still sound.
I think you've got to look at a lot of drugs in that respect. When someone will panic about can't use Clen or using this and that, and you sit there and you get natties peeled with minimal muscle loss, or you've got a natty pushing so much food, they are just at the end of the day a little bit of an add-on, unless apart from your normal androgens.
Yeah.
You know, I think like your Nova Rapids and like your Clen, your Inbites, they make a difference, but they're not absolutely necessities. But I think more using Nova Rapid, I think you've got to treat that as using it as a super physiological response, as opposed to, you know, your Lantus using baseline as a prophylactic.
Yeah, that's using it.
You don't need Nova Rapid post-workout, but you're using that.
I say to clients, like, I'm not using Lantus for somebody to make it. Like, it's not a PD.
It's a health.
It's not, I'm not trying to enhance performance. You'll feel a bit fuller. You'll probably be a bit
pumps will be great.
Yeah, you'll be really full in the gym. But, like, I'm not utilising this to be like, hey, mate, you're going to put on like 10 pounds of muscle.
Nutrient partition is not that much better.
People think of it as though.
But it's got a stigma, like, I'm going to put Slin in, and that's because of abuse. I don't want to touch Slin.
I haven't earned the right to use that.
No.
But it's like, I said to a client.
If I'm time again, I'd have GH in way earlier.
Oh, No, I said to a client about literally Slin and GH, and they were like, I haven't earned the right for that yet. And they were like pushing, let's say, dosages to the point where it's like getting over a gram. And I was like, honestly, mate, like you doing what you're doing PD wise, you're actually like, if we're just going to keep driving this up, because he came to me and he was taking way too much for where he was.
Yeah.
I was like, so let's say, I'm not going to just, I scaled him down a bit, but I was bringing him back up. And this was after literally a whole like maintenance period, dropped his body fat down, and I was driving dosages back up. And I said to him, like, in what you're doing, I can't remember the exact analogy, but it was like, I said like, in comparison, it's like, I literally can't remember the example, but I was like, if we're looking at the negatives from your PDs, let's say androgen wise, and then you're being worried about things that are actually going to help and get less out of what the burden of the PEDs are doing, like, you're worrying about the wrong thing, bro. You're worrying about a different, like, we're actually trying to help and not just shaft yourself by taking 2 grams a year.
Slam the pathway, and then it's Slin GH, the terrified to use.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous. But that just comes from...
It's just lack of education.
Lack of education, and then like actually abusing these kind of substances.
What
as
are your
well.
Thoughts regarding GH? Like around, let's say, potentially in a prep-based setting, fasted, would you split it up? Where, what
split
would
it
you,
up.
Okay, so what would be a sort of protocol that you'd say, maybe in a prep and then in off-season, what would you be looking for?
Depends on the dosage. If you're looking at, say, like 4 IU in an off-season, AM, PM.
What, 2-2?
Yeah, 2-2. Or if you then, you know, 6, you can go 2 IU pre-workout as well.
Yeah.
Prep, you know, again, nowhere near as high, but I really like to use the synergy of L-carnitine, your Himbine, Clen GH, fasted in the morning.
Yeah, I was doing that.
Mobilize, transport, and then oxidize the fatty acid. And then again, 2 IU pre-bed as well, just from a fullness perspective.
Yeah.
And then it depends on the client if I'd pull it or keep it in on show day.
Yeah,
it's like your Himbine. I'd always pull your Himbine, but in terms of growth, some people retain so much fluid off it that the amount of fullness it brings doesn't warrant keeping it in.
Yeah.
And you can really almost get that fullness back from food or from like other orals. But some people don't hold that much fluid off GH and there's no point actually taking it out because you just get a great fullness benefit from it.
And then L-carnitine, that seems to be the... Like, I feel like...
I only use L-carnitine when dieting.
Chatting about it.
Yeah. Only because I just made another pin.
Yeah.
I've had
clients, even natty clients, being like touching upon it. And I was like, if I wasn't taking GH, I wouldn't pin it. I can't be... It's not worth it.
No.
But... Additionally, I used it in 2022 for the first time, and I was like, okay, it's all right. But like now, I didn't prep in 2022. I started using it when I did my little tidy up, and
pre-workout.
I just wanted to use it. Yeah, literally, I wanted to see. I do notice a bit of a benefit, but nowadays, because of, you know, you've got that engineered muscle.
That Riz engineer.
Yeah, Riz engineer. And
he's bringing up products without, like, I'm sure the products are great, by the way, I'm not slandering it, but like, for me to pin a pump pre-workout, like you can, what, pin like, choline.
It's choline, L-carnitine, and then ATP.
Citrulline, L-malate. There's citrulline in it, I swear, one of them for a pump. But then you got one with ATP, literally pinning ATP.
Yeah.
And mate, I'm already pinning enough a day. I think to stick that in my bicep before I train.
No, they're doing like intramuscular of what they're training.
Like pump products,
It's like,
I think that's taking it too far for me.
Yeah, I think it gets to the point where if I'm like, okay, I'm training my quads. Okay,
but you know, 10 years' time, that could be just the norm.
It could be, but then like what? How many times do you pin a day?
Too much that I'd want to.
5, 6, 7, depending on compounds.
Potentially, yeah.
Another 8, 9, 10? No way.
I'd have time. Like, I honestly don't know how I'd do it. I wouldn't.
I don't enjoy pinning either. Like, it's a burden every day to then want to do it pre-workout. I'd rather just have mega pump.
Yeah.
And like,
Tim, you missed out. Fantastic.
No, but I'd rather have a pump product than actually depending.
They're such small things as well. Like, I guarantee as well, the people that are doing that, they're not the top level pros.
No.
They're the people who aren't sleeping that well.
Yeah.
The training's average.
They think
like,
this is the missing. This
yeah.
Is, this
oh,
is the
that'll sort head. Me out. No, you need to be more consistent. Your training shit. You sleep shit.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'd have the time to do it all anyway, but like I also just think
just do it in one barrel once a week.
They're all do 10 barrels all together.
10 million you don't be fine. But like, just get the biggest
I'm a
barrel.
Shit
you can
pinner
do.
As well.
What do you mean?
I'm awful. I'm sore non-stop.
Okay.
I've never been able to pin well. So fuck doing that as well.
Yeah. What,
the amount of lumps I get on me from pinning non-stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
Yeah, not good.
I honestly couldn't think of it worse. Like,
no, but you're a natty bro. So
no, but it's not even that. I'm not scared of needles or anything. I just mean like it's just a ball leg.
It's a ball leg. That's what it means. Yeah. A burden every day. To like,
I don't. I don't think
I do my anabolics
food.
Pre-bed. Do you?
Okay.
I do my first thing.
Yes,
I
don't
will
think
leave
of anything
until the last minute before I'm getting in bed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'll have to do it now.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I just can't be asked.
I like when before I go to bed, I'm so chilled that like the last thing I want to do is.
Yeah.
But it's not something you need to amp yourself up for.
No, I'm not saying that.
When I first did it, I treated it like a toxic.
Like a dog, bro.
Yeah. I don't mean
I was
that.
Shaking like a dog. Yeah. And then I was like, I'm going to die. That's gone in a vein. I'm dying with a blue in my arms. I was like, at uni, went into my mate's mate's room and I was like, I'm dead.
Yeah, I find it mental, like.
But bro, imagine, like, I don't pin my glutes because it's the only one that I don't like. But just imagine turning around and just like for the first time, especially with a blue that's that big, going into your ass, like, trying to reach around to squeeze it in.
What, in your asshole?
Yeah,
directly
into
right.
your asshole.
In the asshole, yeah.
That's where the heroin goes.
Nah, I just think like, unless I was so sure that I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it, like.
Mm.
If I was like, right, I'm going to be elite and I'm going to be a top tier bodybuilder. And it's I've never wanted to be just the biggest guy. You know what I mean? I've never thought like, oh fucking hell, I wish I was bigger than him, or I want to be the biggest guy. I've never really been that arse. I like bodybuilding. I enjoy training. I like the art of bodybuilding. I like posing. I like looking good, feeling good, or seeing your body progress and that. Yeah. But I don't get the whole like, you know, when some people are just like, that's what I've got to do. Like, I feel like you probably thought that, didn't you? Like, it's what you had to do.
Yeah, to an extent. I'm probably that person who, going off that, shouldn't really take anabolics.
Yeah, but you were young and it's like...
I also enjoy taking them and I've never been bothered about night bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And I'm aware of the risks to my health and I'm fine with them. And I think, like, if someone wants to take them, getting a plastic third place PCA trophy or not a placing is irrelevant. Like, you don't have to go on stage to take gear.
No.
As long as you're fine with... with the health consequence, and you
turn around, just have a look at that. If you just want one of those swords,
Is there the third place
you can
my overall sword. Mate, no one's winning overall.
So that was just a tragic downfall since
then. Mate, peaked, honestly.
Pete, is your first show?
Yeah, first show. Overall.
Don't you think, though, if you're like, and the thing is, I bet loads of other people feel the same, if it's such a burden, where it's like, fucking hell, I don't want to be pinning, and like potentially you have like, let's say, like morally or with your family, like you've got like relationship breakdown. Like, I feel like unless you are going to be like, or potentially going to be at the top, then is it worth it?
No, like, 100%. Yeah. I think that comes down to how much you use as well.
Yeah.
But one thing that's highlighted, like natty bodybuilding is getting so good that it is highlighting that, like, you don't have to be assisted to be a good bodybuilder or be pretty prestigious these days as well. But I think just that people say, you know, if you're not competing, don't take it.
No, I don't think that.
Come last in a regional show, that's fine. But yeah, I don't know. Natty bodybuilding for me has never interested me.
Yeah.
I also think from coaching and understanding, you know, coming from pretty science-based background, I think it's quite interesting to learn about as well and use. But I agree, like, it's not... No, you're not going to... If you're a crap natural bodybuilder, you're not going to become a phenomenal bodybuilder from pinning the gear.
Yeah.
I mean, you have got people that will hyper-respond to it, but still, you look at the best natural bodybuilders, a lot of them are you know...
Elite, just genetically.
Ronnie Coleman was at the Olympia Natural before he won a gear.
Yeah.
So...
Like,
it normally shows.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? That?
Yeah. Right. Is that it? What all questions done?
Have we done your question?
What was it? Mistakes in peak week.
What do you say? Good one. So I'd say the main issue is just not getting them fresh and not getting rid of fatigue. Like, no matter what you do, if you've got somebody who's really stressed, fatigue's through the roof, you could give them whatever food like this.
People thinking it's going to be a magical change.
If you could have one thing, it's just get them to chill out and drop off stress. That's going to be way more important than what you're going to do with their fucking sodium or their fluid the day before or even their carbs, stuff like that. You know?
I think it's the same, like, if they're not fresh, nothing's going to work.
Yeah.
And if you're not lean enough, nothing's going to work either.
Yeah, but you can't work.
Too many times people are trying to peak when you're still fat.
You're pulling fluid off when you've got fat and loading through the roof when you're still fat. It's like,
oh, they're saying, oh, I'm not spilled because you've already spilled.
Yeah.
Like, you're not spilled.
I'm actually, bro,
I didn't even spill. You're not spilled because you've already spilled, bro. Like, you can't spill more because you already spilled, man. Like, you know what I mean? Imagine, I had 500 carb and I was fine. I had another 1,000 carb, I was fine. No, because you're fat.
Yeah. It's not magic.
No.
I think it can do a lot. I think people then underestimate that, you know, it's not magic and you can't do a lot. I think you can literally change your physique
if
it's ready.
Yeah.
If it's fresh, if it's lean enough, I think you can really, you know, change your physique. And you manipulate fluid and you can come in dry, full. But I think if you're not fresh or you're not ready, I think it's just keep dieting and move the show back.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty simple way of thinking about it. And then just building food up appropriately and kind of looking at... Also as well, if you're ready early, you'll have data to go off. So you'll know how things respond. But nowadays, like, especially with social media, the amount of times I see someone running a different peak week protocol every single time.
Every week.
It's like,
can't ever get the peak right. Yeah, they've done six shows, can't nail a peak. Yeah.
But
it's
like,
six different
But then also what's happened with that? Usually the first show, they've crashed, like driven into it because they're so fucking, let's say, they're out of shape. So they've gone so aggressively. They've had 2 to 3 days to fill up. They've then filled up. They've spilled over massively. They've done one show. They're then into another show. And it's like, it's just a car crash. They're trying to catch up upon your mistakes. And a lot of times, especially preps, like I took over a few preps last year, and it was like I was literally just correcting mistakes. I wasn't coaching. I was literally just saying, right, this is what your previous coach has done, this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
And it was almost like I wasn't, I had a guy called Sean. Same
start point though. Like,
yeah, 10 kilos pulled off within 3 weeks because he was so out of shape. And I said to him, "Your shape, mate, you should not be like finishing dead last at a show. Like, you should be doing well, you should be in good condition."
He pulled 10 kilos off between his shows.
Yeah. And then we filled up and he was like 3 kilos up, so he's like 7 kilos.
Yeah.
And I was, he was like filling up and I was like, "You're filling up, but you're out of shape. You know, what?" Like, it doesn't make sense.
I think a lot of the time though, it's just coaches that they either don't give a shit, or they just don't, like, they don't
understand the level required.
Yeah, they don't really get like the conditioning sort of requirements, or they maybe don't see them in person and they sort of think that they're leaner than they are. Like, when I've heard about people having issues, it's like the coach doesn't even go to their show.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, so they're not even there to,
I think, if see them in person
or even
up,
get that embarrassment of that's my client and they're well out of shape. They're not even there. Somewhere else, don't care.
I think that's just from caring.
Yeah.
Because I think we get so invested into it. I'm gutted, or I'm so embarrassed. Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? I really blame myself, even though you know sometimes it's not remotely.
Yeah,
you'll see an outlier in someone's athletes, won't you? You'll see everyone's POP, but and then someone's soft note. There's an outlier.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely gutted. You're devastated. Whereas some people just don't care. It's a paycheck.
Yeah, they're
not. They're a number. They're not there, and they're a paycheck.
Yeah.
But like, that's why I think as well it runs you down so much across the season, is because peak weeks are like they're checking in with me daily, multiple times throughout the day. Yeah. I'm at the beck and call, like constantly. Yeah. It's not just there's your plan for the week. Like, stuff changes throughout every single day. Yeah. Let alone you've got a 10-day peak week plan given out to you 10 days out.
Yeah, there you go. We
found. I remember
sodium's coming down on the Wednesday. Like, calves still going in.
I woke up once, like I said, well, I did it all the time. I'd go for a wee in the middle of the night and I'd literally wake up and think to myself, I wonder what Josh's food is going to be in the morning.
You do, right? Don't you?
You know? And it's like,
constantly on your mind.
It's so like,
you don't sleep. You're thinking before going to bed, like, well, if he wakes up like that, it's not gone to plan today. He's not as full as I thought. So what am I going to do tomorrow? What's he going to wake up like?
Yeah, it is mad.
Imagine doing all that and you're competing. Yeah, I know. Like, I was, the amount of times I was just fucked. I was like constantly thinking about how everyone else was doing, and I was like, oh shit, and I've got me to think about. Like, it's almost like you just put yourself on the back burner. Well,
that like, shows, like, whenever I'd see you, if you were competing, it's hood up, and it's like, I think it's you've got enough talking to clients, let alone talking to anyone else. You can't deal with it.
It is
got a social battery, and you've got to think, even as a coach, that drains, because you're doing 20 looms a day, you're talking to people on WhatsApp, you don't want to reply to another text, you don't want to speak to, or at a show, hi, you get home and you're just slumped.
Yeah.
Do that every single week and you are burnt out.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially if you're prepping.
Well, you chose to do it, mate.
Yeah.
But like, if you were to prep again, which obviously you will, would you pick like earlier shows?
Yeah, I said, didn't I? I think I'd try and like have it so I'm not competing at the same time as many clients.
That's
or
what I'll do.
Maybe even pick less shows, like
one fed stick to. Yeah, maybe go down like that. What fed would you go as a natural now, and you're with your clients, who, what fed is your favourite?
The WMBF.
The WMBF. You think standard's best?
Yeah, by a mile.
Run best?
I wouldn't say. I'd say the standard at the Worlds is the best by a mile, like compared to the Natural Olympia. The WMBF Worlds was a joke.
But what I will say is, the UKDFBA Worlds in June was tenfold better than the Natural Olympia.
Yeah.
So I'll see what it's like. Because I'll be going
qualifier. If JB, better than the Natural Olympia.
Well, that's why Brits win a lot. But then obviously when it's the pro ranks, they didn't look at the Brits, and it was absolutely biased beyond belief.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. Everyone, it was American who won, or like Italian who had a huge affiliation
to
it.
That's another reason I don't think.
Whereas UKDFBA, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah,
and even UKDFBA Romania was better than Natural Olympia.
Yeah, I think the UKDFBA is really, really good. I think it's realistically the best in England.
Yeah.
WMBF UK is great and it's like working its way up to that, I think. But when you look at the Worlds, like the IMBA, PMBA versus the WMBF, it's night and day.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous difference. DFAC, very good. BMBF, the DFAC is like, in my opinion, probably the best athletes, like the biggest.
I don't like BMBF though, the way it's run.
Yeah,
that's what lets that down. I'm sure DFAC's great, but BMBF.
I think the BMBF is probably the least well run, and in my experience, the least regimented with testing. So, if we're looking at like pros and cons of all of them, I would say that WMBF, with the Worlds, with that like step up, is probably the best.
Yeah.
UKDFBA is probably the best at the minute in England.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think BMBF is going to struggle.
And then 92 Bros.
92 Bros is awful.
Good for girls. good for bikini and figure, in my opinion. But from boys, I think it's awful.
Yeah.
Because you look at natural, the other natural shows from bikini, especially bikini, they're not bikini athletes.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Whereas
figure's
yeah.
obviously good in UKIPA and BMBF. But I think for them two classes, I think they're so popular as well, and you have got a stacked out class every single time in terms of bikini. I think bikini, and you've also got a route to that Natty Pro card as a female. I think they're good, but I think for males, I think it's shambolic.
Yeah.
It's a joke, and that Lil was a joke as well in terms of
was it? The
athletes there. Yeah, I've been to pretty much every men's physique show with Jack this year, assisted and non-assisted. I haven't seen one of them.
Yeah.
They've got super droll delts and chest, the bursting full. And there's no testing whatsoever.
Yeah.
One person, Joe got tested, no one else got tested.
Really?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Because he started hitting most musculars.
Yeah, because he was like grunting backstage. Yeah.
And they were like,
they've seen the accusations online. Yeah. That they've seen.
It's all the reels.
Hattersley got tested at the regional and no one else in physique did, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
It's like one person.
I think they do literally just pick one randomly, they just grab someone.
Yeah.
Like,
he looks all right, we'll test him.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Right, that'll be that.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Been really good. Yeah, been really, really good. We'll definitely get you on, like, again. If
5 years' time.
Do
a catch-up.
When we get the... Because we're going to upgrade the studio and maybe get, like, some sofas and get some extra mics and new cameras and stuff. We'll get all of the Team CBC on.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be good. That would be good. Right, cool. Thank you. Sweet. Thank you, everyone enjoyed. Story tags. Please tag Tim. We sometimes get like story tags.
Sometimes and they'll just tag one of us.
They'll tag me and not Finn or Finn. Why? I mean, it's like I'm literally on the screen. Like, thanks for the podcast, Finn or Reese. It's like Finn's there as well. So tag Tim. Hopefully everyone has enjoyed. And we'll see you guys later. Bye bye.
Sweet.